Chapter 11. Everything Changes. Chanu found Nazneen on the kitchen floor and carried her to the bedroom. For several days, she stayed in bed. Her dreams would not let her go. When she finally opened her eyes, Dr. Azad and Chanu were there.
"Welcome back," Dr. Azad said. "Your husband has been very worried. Now rest as long as possible. Shall I give you something to help you feel calm?"
"No need," said Chanu proudly. "No one is more calm than my wife. She has nothing to get excited about."
Nazneen understood now, after many years, what brought Dr. Azad and Chanu together. The doctor had respect and money. Chanu did not. Chanu had a wife and daughters who behaved themselves. Dr. Azad did not. They felt stronger because of each other's sadness. Nazneen got better slowly. She began to eat a little and do some cleaning. Her friends came to visit. But all the time, she wondered about Karim. Then, one August afternoon, when she was alone, tidying the flat, she heard knocking at the door. She knew it was Karim. As usual, he had a big bag of jeans over his shoulder. He put the bag on the ground. They looked at each other, wondering who would speak first. She did not know who moved first or how, but they were in the bedroom before she knew it. She bit his ear. She bit his lip and tasted blood. She felt there was nothing she would not do. She did not care what happened. Afterwards, Karim whispered promises and said he loved her. He was so young. She got up and washed away his words. Later, he sat on the sofa with his feet on the coffee table while she worked. She tried not to see the hole in one of his socks. She remembered the meeting in the community hall where he won everyone to his side. That was how she wanted him, not with his feet on her coffee table and holes in his socks. That evening, Chanu was reading the newspaper when, suddenly, he said,
"Look what it says here. Bangladesh is the happiest country on earth. This is in a study by a very good university."
"I don't believe it," said Nazneen. Chanu was surprised.
"Why?"
Nazneen did not know how to answer. Finally, she said, "My sister isn't happy." And she started to tell him the things she had hidden from him over the years. She began with Mr. Chowdhury and ended by saying only, "My sister had to stay alive." Chanu became very still. She saw that he understood.
"I will make a plan," he said. "Something must be done."
A few days later, Razia banged on the door. She looked extremely upset.
"What is it?" Nazneen asked.
Razia held Nazneen's arms and said,
"Tariq has sold the furniture. All that's left are the beds. He's been buying and selling drugs."
Razia had saved for years to buy furniture and carpets for her flat, one room at a time.
"I don't know what to do now," she cried.
Nazneen took Razia to Dr. Azad for help. He showed no surprise.
"If Tariq wants to stop using drugs, I can help him," the doctor said.
"How does he know what he wants?" said Razia.
"He needs to come and see me. He can come on his own or with you."
"But will he get better, doctor?"
"He has to want it."
"Want?" cried Razia. "What if he wants to use drugs until the day he dies?"
"Go and talk to him. You need to talk to him," not me. There was nothing more to say. But afterwards, Razia told Nazneen, Dr. Azad thinks stopping is Tariq's decision. That's an English way of thinking. If I have to lock Tariq in his room, then that is what I will do. One day in September, Chanu banged open the front door. Nazneen had never seen him move so fast before.
Quick, he shouted. Put on the television. The world has gone mad.
The television showed tall New York buildings against a blue sky. An aeroplane appeared. It seemed to be flying at the height of the buildings. Then there was black smoke. The news showed the aeroplane coming again and again. They watched the news reports again and again. Shahana and Bibi came home from school and they all watched together. It was hard to keep looking at the television and it was impossible to look away.
It's time to go home, said Chanu. There's been enough planning.